Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary taste with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Pitaya.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna.
And I'm Jenny.
And this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. Ay, feliz Navidad, Jenny.
Ay, felicidades. What did you do?
Oh, my God. I did so many things. I had hallacas. I had ensalada de gallina. I had, we had a party here. But one of my favorite things I've been doing in this vacation is my cousin is sort of like training to be a bartender. So I've learned how to make a bunch of cocktails. And every night I spend like 3 hours making cocktails. And I have literal wounds on my hands from the shaker. Because I am...
You know, this is good. You can put this on your acting resume. And then you can be one of those like hot girl, tough bartender chicks. Who's like, who throws a towel on her shoulder and is like, what do you want, kid?
Oh my God, that's honestly my kid dream.
Because
right now it's like, oh my God, I could be a Stern therapist. But now after this vacation, I can definitely go out for roles like, what brings you out here, Jimmy? What, you want the regular? No, wait, the usual. No, you want the usual? 2 shots of whiskey? Huh, I'll make you a whiskey sour. All I need is egg, lemons, whiskey.
You just nailed that audition. You just nailed it.
What have you been doing?
Not drinking. I'm a boring sober. So my parents flew in. They're still here. But we went to Big Bear for Christmas. So we were there from the 23rd through the 26th. We came back.
Big Bear?
Yesterday. Big Bear Mountain.
Oh, it's a mountain.
It's only 2.5 hours away from Los Angeles, but there's snow. So it's a very different life. It's cabin life, and there was snow everywhere, and it was pretty cold. Not terrible, in the 40s. And it was really nice. I love, my family and I have always done this sort of thing where we go to a wintry location for the holidays.
Yeah, it makes it feel, for some reason, and I guess you, when you grew up, you would always travel within the States mm-hmm. during the holidays. I always went to the cold. Like, Christmas for me is almost, it's either Margarita Island on the beach or there has to be snow on the ground. Those are the two options. Beach or frigid temperatures. There's like midpoint. I don't want like Sedona. I want, extremes.
For me, it's just, it has to be wintry. I've spent way too many Christmases in Florida.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm like, nah, I don't need another warm winter. It's fine.
Well, part of it is, I was very excited to talk about today's episode, which is sort of like rituals and traditions, especially coming up in the new year. And I guess I noticed that one of the rituals I think a lot of people have is this concept of, a snowy Christmas, having a wintry, snowy Christmas. Even if you can't have it, it's sort of even the iconography of it. You see it everywhere. You see, like, why is there a snowman on your front lawn in Florida? Do you know what I mean? It's like, this makes no sense here. But there's there's a ritual to it.
That makes sense, yeah.
So... a week ago, Jenny, I did a show with a behavioral psychologist called Christine Lagarde. And specifically, she is an expert on rituals and how rituals become part of society and how our brain actually sort of is affected by rituals. And she went into this really super interesting talk about how if you look around our everyday life, not only religion is full of rituals, and people do these rituals as a way to like either calm their anxiety or to feel like they're part of a community, or to, you know, give them a sense of peace, give them some organization in a life that's so chaotic. You know, we see it a lot in religion, obviously, like you have Jewish yeah. people have the Shiva after someone dies. There's this ritual where you sit for 7 days after and you don't look at the mirror and you wear the same clothes. And all these things are put in place, in my opinion, as almost like a como que instruction manual on how to get through life. But simplified, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I, you know, it's really, really human to seek rituals in times like the new year, in times where there's a change, in times where perhaps you're anxious, in times where perhaps things feel a little bit more symbolic than usual. But before we get into some of these Christmas rituals that you, I think you know way more than I do, and we can pick them apart, the Professor Legare, every time I talk about her, I'm going to just change the pronunciation of her last name because she just sounded so smart. I'm sure her pronunciation is something way more complex than what I'm saying. But anyway, Professor Legare, she gave us a really clear representation of what rituals mean and how absurd they can actually be. Okay.
Okay.
So first thing she did was she introduced us to the concept, the Brazilian concept of simpatias. And simpatias are these quote unquote little treatments, these tiny rituals people in their everyday life can do in order to heal something, in order, whether it be, I don't know, you're nervous for a test, you follow these simple things and you'll no longer be anxious, or you'll get good luck for that. You'll do this, this, and this, and this, and this little ritual will make your, you know, mother-in-law love you. Things like, there's hundreds and hundreds of these simpatias, of these little rituals. Now, I'm going to read a few, and I want you to tell me what you think that simpatia is solving. Like, what you think the reason for the simpatia is.
Okay.
I want to preface this by saying I failed every single one of these. I did not get any of them right. So they're really confusing.
Can't okay. wait. Can't wait. All right.
So here's a simpatia. In the first day of the last quarter phase of the moon, take milk from a coconut. Have the person drink the milk and then have them spit 3 times into the hole of the coconut. Then seal the coconut with the wax of a white candle and take the coconut and throw it into a faraway ocean. What do you think this simpatia, this ritual, is made for?
I'm exhausted just hearing every step. It's exhausting. Oh my God. The moon phases, coconut spitting in a hole. Mm. It's quite sexual.
Yes, 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 it is. It is.
I'm just a pervert. And then you throw it into the ocean.
Yeah.
This coconut spit candle waxed. I feel like, I mean, there's so much that you can do with the moon phases. A lot of it has to do with manifestation.
Hmm.
I think you're trying to manifest something positive in your life. That's very uh-huh. vague, though. I'm still
no, but I think you're on the right track.
Extremely vague.
You said something about it being sexual, Jenny. So maybe manifesting something sexual.
It does seem okay. Like coconut, it's a type of milk. Milk is the, you know, leche can mean sperm and. okay, fine. You're manifesting. Oh God, what is the word? The term for getting pregnant easily.
Oh, fertility. You're manifesting fertility?
Jesus fucking Christ. Yes, you're manifesting fertility.
Okay, so you were very close. You were very close. The actual thing that this ritual, quote unquote, solves is that it makes sure someone doesn't cheat on you. So if you think about it, all like symbolically, you know, you take the thing out, then that person puts it back in, then it's sealed with wax, and then they throw it into a faraway ocean. So it's close.
Okay.
It's almost kind of like the opposite of fertility.
I'm gonna seal your hole.
Yeah, seal it. Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna seal your hole with candle wax. Let's continue.
Okay, I'm gonna give you another one. Okay, look at this simpatia. So, collect 7 red apples in the morning. Peel the apples, eat them, and have the peels ready for bedtime, because at bedtime, you're going to take the peels and make a tea with the peels, and then you're going to drink it. What does this simpatia solve?
Acid reflux?
An apple a day.
I mean, it seems like it's a health related thing, right? Because mm-hmm. apples are very much associated with, again, like keeping the doctor away. And it's also associated with Snow White and a jealous bitch who tried to poison her. But this doesn't seem.
I love that your brain goes to Snow White and not the Bible. That is my favorite thing that just happened. It's not like, oh, yeah, evil Eve and the apple. It's like Snow fucking White. And those seven dwarves.
Snow White, you better be careful with those backstabbing bitches who are out there poisoning your apples because they have nothing better to do. I didn't even think about Eve. Is that a hint, though? Like,
no,
is
not,
this
a hint,
about
not a hint.
Original
right
sin?
Track.
Are there snakes
You're on the right
involved?
Track. Ignore me. Okay. I'm being a dumb friend.
Okay, so something regarding health and then eating 7 apples in a day. That's overkill. But whatever. And then you peel the apples and then you make a tea out of the cáscara to drink it. I can only think of something health related, like for the stomach.
So, you know, when I guessed, I said the same thing. I said like, oh, this will heal something. But apparently this is a very simple one. This is just for better luck. And what I love about this one is how complex it is for such a simple broad strokes thing. Like, what I find so interesting about these and so interesting about a lot of the rituals that we're going to talk about is that there's a complexity to them. It's almost like it has to be a little difficult to do for it to feel significant.
Yeah, I know.
Like why 7
apples?
It can't
be easy.
Why peeling them in the morning can't be easy. It can't. If it's too easy, then it doesn't have the weight, like, for your brain to think like I'm actually doing something. Okay,
I mean, it sounds like basic brujería, right? It's like, oh, I need an eye of newt and the third page of a children's book written in 1937. And
now we know what Jenny does on her spare time while I'm making cocktails. She's reading about witchcraft. And
I mean, this is why I'll never be a proper bruja in any way, shape, or form. I don't have the energy or the time. It is like a scavenger hunt that
it's
nobody
hard.
Has time for.
Absolutely.
Anyway, what's the third one?
Okay, this is the third simpatia. You have to wear a white t-shirt for 5 days in a row and then wash the t-shirt using salted water. Have it air dry until it's dry, and then you take it to a church.
What happens then?
That's it. You just take it to a church. I didn't really get more information from that.
I'm just curious. I just want to show up with a white t-shirt to church and just see what happens. I'm just going to stand at the doorway.
Yeah.
Until someone's like, what are you here for? Here's a white t-shirt.
Yeah, maybe they needed more uniforms. Maybe the choir needed more uniforms. And they needed your dirty ass shirt.
Are they supposed to know? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Are they supposed to know the next steps? Anyway, that's just interesting.
No, but that's
me.
A really good point, because there are several rules of what makes a ritual. And part of the rules of having a ritual be a ritual is that other people need to know what it means as well. It can't just be something for yourself. It's got to be something beyond yourself for it to feel like an actual ritual. So that's a really good point. I don't know. I don't think that if I went to the church here in Lenox, Massachusetts, I don't think the pastor would know, like, oh, I know this. This is a Brazilian, slightly witchy, crafty ritual. I don't think that Pastor Williams would know. But if you were going to a church in Brazil, perhaps.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary taste with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, so wear a white... You don't wash the shirt until after the fifth day?
Mm-hmm.
Cute. All right, so you've got a white... stinky shirt you wear for 5 days and then you wash it with salt and water?
Yes.
For that, you might as well just dunk your ass in the ocean.
Then you have it air dry. It has to dry in the air.
It has to dry in the air. I mean, you might as well go to the beach at this point, right? There's a purification situation going on here, right? Because white means purity, you know, perhaps purging the negative. I know that salt water is known for killing like bacteria and like healing again. And it's a lot. It's very elemental, right? It's like you have the air. It can't be like dried in a dryer. It has to be dried by the elements of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Air and salt water and blah, 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 blah. it's just like putting these things together. Rebirth, renewal.
Mm-hmm.
Starting new.
Okay. I think that's a good answer because what it actually is very similar. So it is to heal a broken heart.
Okay.
And you know what I think, what I find very interesting about all these rituals is like this shit takes so long. You have to wear something for 5 days and you have to like wash it with salt and you have to let it air dry and then you have to take it to a church. Like that's at least a week.
I think it's just... It's making you kill time,
but isn't that what so many rituals are? It's like it tricks you into not being idle. It tricks you into doing actions to make you feel like you're making a difference, like in moments where you can't really do anything. That's like the solace and the comfort that rituals give you.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you did a pretty good job. I'd give you like a C+.
Thanks.
You're welcome. C+.
I haven't lived in LA long enough, I guess.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess LA has different, probably has different rituals. Like, take a green juice, bathe in the sweat of a commercial actor, whistle the tune of the Oompa Loompas while at the Culver City Hotel, and you will book a commercial gig.
While charging your crystals.
Yes, while charging your crystals.
By the moonlight. Yeah.
Well, I it was so interesting to hear about these specifically Brazilian rituals. A lot of them come from like background in, you know, voodoo and all this stuff. And it may seem absurd to us and in contrast to what we're used to, it's like, oh, these are crazy. But when we start thinking about our own rituals, like every culture and society's rituals are weird. They're bizarre. Yeah. The fact that like people came together and said, you know what we should do? We should dress up in little red robes and then walk around and sing to random people outside their house. That's weird. That's weird behavior. But we don't see it as weird. We see it as tradition. We see it as ritual. We see it as something that signifies something. And, you know, it's interesting to me to sort of also realize how weird my rituals have been. So, Jenny, I want to talk about maybe some New Year's rituals we've done that are weird and cultural, and then maybe talk about some around the world as well.
I'm down.
Okay, so like what's a New Year's ritual that you do that you think is now a little weird maybe?
It's mainly been me living vicariously through my mom and my abuela because they're the ones that would actually go through with a majority of these rituals. I could maybe stuff 5 grapes in my mouth before calling it quits. You know what? I'm going to tell you the actual ritual I have been doing for the past 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And we're probably the only people in the world who do this because we made it up. So 5 years ago, I was already living in LA. Me, my husband, my sister, and my brother-in-law decided at midnight, let's go to a car wash. The ritual involves us going through a car wash while playing at the car wash while drinking Coca-Colas.
Okay. I love this ritual. By the way, this professor, Professor Longhuang, she would have probably approved of that, because you have symbolic, which is you're cleaning your car, you're going to, yes, from the old to the new.
Yes.
Everyone can participate in it.
Yes.
And there's something about music that she explained, which is like music is a way for you to realize and clock which people are into it and which people aren't. Like if someone isn't singing along, that means that they're not, they are unaware of what the ritual is or not into it as you are. If people are singing along, that's camaraderie immediately.
Yeah, it's really wild. Like for instance, last year, my husband and I were in Miami, and so my sister was also in Miami with my brother-in-law, but me and David got COVID, and so we were quarantined, and so we had to do the car wash by ourselves. But like me and David were sick. We were feeling miserable. We had fevers and we're like, no, we have to do the car wash. So we went and we did it and we filmed it. And I actually made a compilation video of all the years. I think it started in 2018, you know, and for me, as long as me and my husband do it, you know, because I actually discussed it with my sister just yesterday. And I'm like, are we doing the car wash? And she's like, depends how tired we are. I'm like, girl, no.
We have to do it.
I told her, I'm like, I am at a point now where I am superstitious about it.
Yeah.
And like, I would be depressed. First of all, if I was able to do it with COVID, there's no excuse. So no matter what, my husband and I are going to do it. But it's obviously more special when my sister and my brother-in-law are involved, because it was a ritual that the four of us came up with together. But now that my parents are in town for this New Year's, they're probably going to join us. Sometimes we'll do it in two cars. Like if we have like a bigger group with us, we'll go in one car and then we'll switch and do it in another car. But it's just so much fun, like playing at the car wash, and we're just like,
and you know, some people might be like, oh my god, what the hell, Jenny, like that's not a real ritual. But it is to you, because you know the ritual of the 12 grapes, where it's originally a Spanish ritual, which at 12 you have to eat 12 grapes to signify the coming 12 months, right? And that's like, oh, that's so symbolic. No, the creation of it wasn't particularly symbolic. It was like in the late 1800s or something like that, and some vine growers in Spain were like, yo, we have so many grapes, there's so many grapes that we need to get rid of them, let's just create this tradition and just say this is good for the new year to chug 12 grapes because we have so many grapes and we need to sell them. It's like, if that's the creation of a ritual, like your creation of a ritual is equally as valid.
That's true. Oh, you know? Absolutely. And it's fun. People tell me, oh, I look forward to your car wash video every New Year's now.
There we go. There we go. I will say the 12 grapes is easier to do than the car wash. So there's something about rituals, having it be easy or hard, that like sometimes the harder it is, the better, but usually the easier it is, the better. And you are in LA, the perfect place to find a car wash. That might be the perfect LA ritual.
It really is. It's simple. You know, we love it. Like, again, that's why we do it every year. Because forever and ever, I never did any of those other rituals that my mom and my grandma would do, like wearing red or yellow underwear, for example.
So that's one of them, right? So you did you participate in that? Because I never did. So you in the new year, and this is very, I guess, Caribbean, but I don't know what other Latino countries. I know it's Venezuelan and Colombian. So you would wear yellow or red. I never heard of red, but you would wear yellow or red underwear?
Not me. It would be my abuela, specifically. Mm.
What was like, the significance of it?
Necesita ponerte blume rojo para el amor.
Oh, my God.
For love. And then yellow underwear is for good luck.
Wait, so your grandma would say you have to wear red underwear if you want love? And yellow underwear if you want luck.
Yes. And it's not just a Cuban thing. I know a lot of Hispanic, Latino countries do this. Mm-hmm. But red underwear is specifically for romance, you know. Romance awaits. But yellow is about good luck. So the underwear thing is a big deal, but those two specific colors are the front runners.
I love those two things are mutually exclusive. Like, you need separate colors for those two separate concepts, love and luck.
I mean, I guess love, you need as much as you can. So you just, it's its own category.
It's his own category. And then luck is just very general.
But my grandma would do that one. The one that my mom does religiously every year is two of them, which is she'll clean the house mm-hmm. and then toss out the dirty bucket of water out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then she does the walking around with a suitcase because she loves traveling.
Yeah.
And that's that one's a big one.
My husband's family in Colombia, they would just take their empty luggage and walk around their building to symbolize like wanting to travel in the next year.
So she does those every freaking year.
Yeah. Well, I had a couple years ago, Daniel's friend Camilo, él es de Bogotá. He's from Bogotá. And he came with like this little cute tin can. And in the tin can was this adorable looking little like hay, like farmer with a little smiley face. And I was like,
the effigy.
Oh my God. Qué cuchi, what is that? And he's like, no, pues este es el año pasado. And I'm like, oh, what do you mean? And he's like, pues en año nuevo salimos y lo quemamos en llamas. And I'm like, you burn this cute little farmer? What?
Yes.
My mom hid it. My mom was like, yo no voy a quemar esa vaina. And my mom took the little farmer and put it and hid it in a corner. And then the Colombian, the Camilo was like, ¿Dónde está el año pasado para quemarlo? And my mom's like, ay, no sé. Se perdió. And my mom still has it.
Oh my God. So Venezuelans don't do that?
Well, maybe they do. At least in my family, I never saw anyone burning...
No, anything. We never did that either. I was just as confused because when I was doing research for like my videos and stuff, when I look up specifically Cuban New Year's Eve superstitions, that's one of them, the burning of the effigy. And I'm like, the fuck, what? It's and then like, I look it up what? And I'm like, burning a muñeco. And I'm like, we never did that. But then again, my grandma was a hyper paranoid person and she probably would not want to fuck around with fire in that way. But apparently it's very much a Cuban, it's one of the top Cuban rituals for New Year's Eve. And I'm like, I've never done it. I don't know anybody else who's done it, but obviously they do.
They do. And I mean, I've seen it, but later in life.
It's like budget Burning Man.
It is like budget Burning Man. It's a tiny little version. It's a little diet Burning Man.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar for the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
So we've talked about the underwear. We've talked about the grapes. We've talked about the effigy.
The bucket of water, cleaning the house, and the traveling water, cleaning the suitcase.
Oh, running around with empty suitcases around your house.
Yeah.
That, I feel like, represents most of what I've seen. And then, like, I remember in the States, the weird ones I found were, like, and this is more Christmas, but, like, the mistletoe was just such a bizarre thing that I was like confronted with. And they're like, there's a little herb you put on top of a little door and then you kiss. I'm like, ew, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why is that? What?
I have never kissed anybody under any goddamn mistletoe, but
me neither.
Me neither. I guess I'm missing out on some Christmas magic.
Perhaps. Okay, so here's some traditions from around the world. So, you know, in Brazil, I guess, while we're wearing yellow and red underwear like weirdos, a lot of people in Brazil wear white. They wear white because white, I guess, signifies like luck and like prosperity and warding off bad spirits.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that's not like a weird, that's also an easy one to adhere to. That's a ritual that I'm like, okay, I can get behind this. Yeah. That's pretty easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Denmark. Denmark, one of the most popular traditions in Denmark involves smashing plates and old dishes, which, you know, I don't have the loose change to be switching over my plates every year. But, you know, if I could, I hear Denmark has a high GDP. So I'm assuming that's why people have enough spending power to be smashing their plates every year and starting anew.
I certainly would not be investing in Pottery Barn or West Elm at that point. If I have to break, you have to break your plates every year, all of them?
I guess not. I guess some of them.
But then what happens to your set? This is disturbing.
Maybe their sets are just like incongruous. I don't know, man. You know what? Look at us. Look at us weirdos going through a car wash and drinking Coca-Cola. And then us saying, like, how dare they? How dare they smash a plate?
Oh, because I'm like, ay, gastadera de dinero.
De dinero.
That's okay. Interesting.
Okay,
interesting.
Let's see.
All right, Denmark. Okay.
Scotland. All right, so Scotland's Hogmanay celebration is one of the most rousing celebrations in the world. Sorry, that's my best Scottish. It's terrible. So they do something called first footing. And according to the custom, the first person who crosses the threshold of a person's home should bring a gift of luck. And traditionally, this gift was either coal for fire or shortbread.
So not yellow underwear. Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, oh, but look at this. After the ban of the Christmas holiday in Scotland in the 16th and 17th century, this like tradition became even more important because it was an outlet for Scottish citizens to figuratively chase away the darkness with light, warmth, and festivities. I don't understand what that means. But basically, when you go into someone's home, you're the first person in the house, you have to bring a gift. I like that.
How do you know if you're going to be the first person? So that means everyone's showing up with a gift in case they're the first person to walk through?
I would lie and tell everyone they're the first person.
So you walk in, like you're second, and you're like, oh, put it back in your purse, taking it back home. Like, that's fascinating. All right.
I also love that there's like, oh, bring a gift of coal. Like the known to be the least attractive gift in all history.
No, that's what you give children. Niños malcriados. See? When they are bad little assholes. You give them coal.
Well, you know what? Maybe the Scots have a different perception of the value of
probably
coal.
Probably. Yeah, I guess so.
So in Switzerland, there's something called the ice cream drop or something like that. And it's basically like they drop a dollop of ice cream on the floor at midnight. So they just like throw away some ice cream at midnight. They got milk. They got good cows and milk and dairy products. I mean, that feels consistent with me. The quality of the ice cream, the accessibility of ice cream is probably easy in Switzerland, you know?
There's a lot of waste going on over there.
There's a lot of waste going on.
Because we ingest the grapes, you know what I mean? And the cidra, the champagne, you know.
We burn effigies, but that's not food.
No.
You know?
No.
Obviously this one is, I guess I didn't realize it was a ritual. And I guess this happens a lot with rituals is you don't realize how weird it is and that it's a tradition. You just see it as like the reality of life. Like, oh yeah, this is what happens. But watching the ball drop in the U.S. in Times Square, I mean, that's a huge tradition.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I didn't realize it was a tradition, but I didn't know the history until now, which was that fireworks were banned in New York City in the early 20th century. And they were like, okay, well then how are we going to freaking celebrate? I mean, so then the event organizers were like, oh my God, here's the best idea. Let's take a 700-pound ball and lower it down a pole.
My favorite was when we had New Year's Eve in Key West, and there was a drag queen that came down on a giant red stiletto shoe.
Oh,
my God. I'm sorry. That's better than Times Square any day.
100%. I would much rather be there. I've never
been.
Come at me. I've lived in this in New York for 12 years. I've never been to the ball drop.
Wow, really? It looks miserable, is the thing. Everyone's there looking like Eskimos, just bundled up in like 40 layers, freezing their asses off. I'm like, where are they going to do pee-pee? I don't know where they're going to make pee-pee.
I don't know either. That's one of the mysteries.
And they're standing. I don't even like waiting for like a parade. And you know me, annoying Disney adult. I don't even like waiting for the parade at Disneyland because people start camping out with their gorchas and shit on the streets of Disneyland 3 hours before the goddamn parade. No, I'm sorry. That's not going to happen. My ADHD would be off the wall. And on top of that, freezing my ass off.
It's terrible.
I'd be starving. I have to piss. I'm like an angry Sim.
Just an angry
I guess, like, slam-a-lam.
Slam-a-lam. And then like maybe you just you dig a pool hole and then you take out the stairs so that you just
I don't know. I just don't know how people do it in New York. Bless you. I mean it's definitely an experience, and I think all of us have this like desire to one day do it. Like, oh, I should do it once.
Well, there's a lot of rituals that aren't comfortable and aren't like easy or simple, and I think it's human emotion or human nature to be like, in order for something to have symbolic meaning, it needs to, like what we did earlier with the Brazilian traditions, like it has to be something that takes time and effort for it to feel like there's weight to it. And I feel like the people that go to Times Square and stand there for 24 hours to watch Mariah Carey like lip sync. And then watch a ball just slowly descend to the ground. Like, I think they are seeking meaning and finding it through a difficult time that is full of joy. Like, they find joy in that being a symbolic moment full of, like, you know, a check mark of difficult things to do. And that symbolizes a new year.
Yes.
So I am doing a New Year's tradition this year that I had never done before. But I'm going to have my cousins all be a part of it to see that if it can maybe become a tradition. I want to, well, over the course of a year, actually, I take notes on my iPhone of things that I really loved, like so that right before New Year's, I get to read that list. But that's like something I want to do by myself. What I want to do as a group is I want to write down all the things I hated about the year and write them on a piece of paper. Then I want to play Bye 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 by NSYNC and light a fire and throw each thing I hated one by one into a little ball as I sing Bye 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 by NSYNC until all the papers are gone. And then it all crescendos to I don't want to be a fool in this game for two. So I'm leaving you behind. Bam! And then all of the negative things are gone, and that's the tradition I would like to do this year.
That sounds better than most of, like, I don't know what shoving 12 grapes in my fucking mouth is gonna do. You know, that's more like, yes, it's like kind of like burning the effigy, but there's like, it makes more sense than a cute farmer, right? You're like, mm-hmm. Okay, these are like the actual names of people, names of things that I hate, names of, you know, anything toxic that, you know, got in my way or, you know, messed with me in 2022. Bye-bye. Like, that's just, it's very, like, cleansing. So I'm into that. I'm more of a Backstreet Boys fan, but I'll give you that.
I guess you can pick your own. But it has to be a pop song from our childhood, from millennials' childhood. It can't be anything else. It can't be, like, new stuff. Has can't to be CeeLo yeah, Green's. Like, you know, fuck you. It can't be. It's got to be historic.
Oh, God. Now I'm trying to think of what song that would be outside of that one. You know what I mean? Songs it's hard. About saying goodbye.
Well, I had a few. I was like, maybe it could be like, well, you have to go and make things so
complicated.
But that doesn't have the umph of bye, 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 bye,
no,
bye.
No, it is. Know? It is. You know, I guess we're going to have to go with NSYNC. Yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome. Absolutely. If you partake, let me know. If you partake,
I'm tempted. I'm not gonna lie. I'll burn up people's names as I drive through a car wash.
Oh, that's a great idea. Or not. Actually, that might be dangerous. I don't condone that. Well, everyone, we have done 102 episodes of Hyphenated, and Jenny, I think me and you have had a lot of fun making all these episodes. We are going to take a little bit of a break in the new year to figure out some things, and we're going to come out with some news. Things might be a little bit different in the coming year, but hey, as we've talked about in this conversation, rituals make us evolve and change for the new year, baby.
I just thought of my song.
Oh, what is it? What's the song you're going to do while you burn things away?
Do you remember that show on Disney called Out of the Box?
No.
And then they had a song at the end of every episode. They're like, so long, farewell to you, my friends. Goodbye for now. Until we meet again. I said so long, farewell.
Farewell to you, my friend.
How
do I know that song?
Goodbye.
Bye.
For now.
For now. Until we meet again. I said so long,
long
farewell.
Farewell to you, my friends.
Almost nailed it. Dude, I love it. That's a good song for our listeners.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. For the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.